Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it is your boy Taki, and I am live in the mix, doing my thing, as promised. Now, I don't know if a lot of y'all tuned in last week or listened to the archive recording. Hold on, let me cut this down just a little bit. Let's see here. Okay, that's a lot better. Now, for those of you that don't know, last week's episode, I had some very important announcements to make, but unfortunately, my sound was horrible. I was actually en route somewhere, and I tried to run the show from my laptop with no microphone, etc., etc. It was a disaster, but I want to thank those who did tune in live and came on the show, and of course, let me know just how horrible my sound was. Hopefully my sound is clear tonight. I'm going to do a sound check with you in a minute. But I wanted to say that the whole purpose of me doing last week's show was to announce that that was going to be my last episode of Conversations with Intelligent Black Men. And I just wanted to thank the people who came on last week because they encouraged me to not stop my show. And they encouraged me to keep going. So, from today, we're actually going to be doing some changes to my show. And we're going to keep it going. A lot of those changes I'm going to discuss tonight, but I do want to do a sound check with who I believe is a relative that has come on the line tonight.
No doubt.
From the area code 919. That's my old hometown back in North Carolina. You
no
lied,
doubt,
bro.
Baby. Full city in the building.
Oh, yeah. So I guess my sound is clear tonight.
Your mic sounds nice. Check one. What's going down?
You got it, bruh. Now, I'm glad you're on the show because we talked earlier about some things, and I think it's time to not stop this show, but to actually take it to another level.
Now, no doubt. That's what...
Go ahead.
No doubt. That's what I'm going to plug you in. You know, I think you should definitely keep the show. It's not a reason. You're going to have some significant changes take place with the sound, the whole outlook of the show. And I just want you to know, you know, I love my family. I love y'all right there, Hicks family, right here out of the Bull City of Durham, North Carolina. And, you know, we got you full force in effect. 24/7, 365. You know how Big Thompson do, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you got my back, because that's what it's about, having each other's back. And last week, what I wanted to get off of my chest was the reason I was even considering stopping this show. And that reason, and first of all, I've some of you that have been following me, you know that I've made a lot of changes for the year 2015. I'm still making changes. And a few of those changes was, number one, total transparency. So I don't want to hide anything from anybody or try to fake the funk on anything. So I wanted to put out there the reason I was even considering stopping the show is me and my previous co-host, JC. We had some unreconcilable differences that just, you know, it just couldn't continue. Now, I wish him all the success. He actually has a show that airs tomorrow, I believe, 3 o'clock our time, and I wish him all the success with that show. But one of the things, any of you that follow this show, you know this show actually underwent a lot of changes. And, you know, in retrospect, I believe some of those changes should not have even been done. And, you know, it's water under the bridge now. But I definitely want to say that a lot of those changes probably wasn't necessary. And, you know, from the people that have encouraged me and sent emails, came on the show last week, I just want to say I thank you for those encouraging words and for letting me know that they kind of like the show the way it was in the beginning when we first started out with conversations with black, intelligent black men. And, of course, I've changed the name to actually Intelligent Black People, because I also had a sister come on last week, and she's been listening to the show, and she actually wants to be a part of this show. I apologize. I did not find your message anywhere in my messages, but we'll fix that in the future here. So as of now, next week, same black time, same black channel, we're going to be doing this a different way. And it's going to be all new. It's going to be fresh, and it's going to have a very crisp sound to it. And Brother Thompson, if you want to elaborate on some of those changes, go ahead and do that.
Yeah, definitely. What we want to do is basically have a restore format. And with that, what we're going to do, me and some of my partners with my Rock Entertainment, myself, Chris Thompson, Matthew Grady, what we're going to do, we're going to chime in. We're going to do some stuff on the production end, and we're going to give it that crisp quality sound, high-end production stuff, and, you know, we're just going to keep it coming to you as much as we can on that side of things. Anything with the music, things like that, and potentially I'm going to reach out to a couple networks here on the ground in Carolina, North Carolina, and see what we can do to get some other people on, get some other insights, some other views of our intelligent community. And you know, with that, you know, it's going to continue to grow and expand. There is no competition. We will not have that. So with that being said, you know, let's go on the record by saying we're gonna forget those things which are behind, and we're gonna press forward from this point forward. And like I said, you have my full support. Anything that you need, you know what to do. So let's keep moving forward. And for the listeners, we do appreciate the support of the program. And this is something that is important, and we want to make sure that we have full support of Taki and his endeavor here. And anything that you do, any comments that you may have, anything that you don't like, your suggestions are important. And so it's not solely up to his network or his team. It also is up to the listener, the fan base, that is the most important thing out there. And, of course, your importance, your words, your insight are relative to change. And we want to make sure that continues to take place.
Definitely, definitely. Hey, first of all, with that said, I definitely want to say it is a beautiful thing when black folks come together. We need to stop being separate in what we do. We need to stop hating each other. Because
no doubt.
You got to hate yourself before you hate each other, another person or anybody. You got to start hating yourself. And I want to say this is a beautiful thing because this is black people coming together. And I also want to mention we are live. If you do want to call in, you have something to say. We are live at 347-996-5051. You can call in, give a shout out, give a plug as well. As our chat is up, and I'm momentarily looking at that as well. But as I was saying, that was the thing we started talking about last week, was harmony, true harmony and true working together as black people. And so many people, black people in our community, don't understand that that was our original nature. Where we are right now is not how it started out. In fact, actually, as a result of possessing such advanced knowledge, our ancestors, which were the original people, and if you do your research, you'll find that we were the original inhabitants of Egypt in Kemet, where they keep going and finding more of our astonishing feats, you know, the pyramids, the mystery schools, all that sacred knowledge, etc. That's us. And we possess such an advanced knowledge in so many of these critical areas of civilization, such as music, mathematics, medicine, all those things we advance in, and it's been, our history's been taken from us. They're knocking noses off statues and everything to try to prevent us from finding out that we enjoyed a Eden-like existence in the fertile Nile Valley, and our knowledge of the universe facilitated a society that was blessed with true harmony and prosperity. That harmony has to come first. That harmony is among, not only amongst ourselves and our brothers and our sisters, but with our universe. We got to stop killing animals and trees and stuff like that like it's nothing, and realize that there is a perfect harmony that this world once had when we, our civilization, was undisturbed by our European people that's in the world right now, and those people of another complexion. But please believe, we had a perfect society in which we didn't even have a police system. We didn't need police. We didn't need leaders for that matter. We didn't need we had perfect government. We had a perfect system. We didn't have these jails, which they keep trying to throw us in and threaten us.
Oh, yeah, they want to fill those up, no doubt.
And they want to fill them up with us. And and one of the reasons that it's hard to fight those things, and it's hard to fight them shooting our sons and killing our babies, is because we don't have an economic background. And that's because of our ignorance, in my opinion, of the actual economic resources we possess as a people. But too many times we want to take our money to the other people. And, you know, I've heard Martin Luther King talk about it. I've heard Brother Malcolm X talk about it. Of course, Brother Marcus Garvey had developed a system: be black, think black, and buy black. and everything else will take care of itself. A lot of y'all know if you go to workwithtaki.com, you'll see that we have a group called the Black Business Network that is following that very principle and supporting our black community and building black economics through black distribution, which is the platform that we need to excel in all these other areas that we're trying to excel in. It starts with us having a strong financial base. And, you know, with my co-host, we discussed a lot of things on this level a lot of times off the air. And I would tell him about things I had learned at different events and different seminars from people that were not of color. And they had these success principles and all that. And one of his arguments was, well, I don't want to listen to that because those are white people's principles. And I want to make it clear right now, today, that those principles, if they are universal principles of success, please believe they started with us. Yeah, and they started with us as a people. So they are not the possession of the white people who are now teaching and using these principles. That's just another thing that we had in the beginning that has been stolen from us, that if it's universal, that means it's been here all time, and we've been all time. And so when you can't look at these principles as being only a principle for white people. Now, I will say that those principles need to be related in a way and a form that actually relates to us, because there's a difference between us and white people. Their principles do create success because they got them from us. But we must understand that there's a way to relate these principles to our people. And the whole reason for me creating my company, Digital Wisdom, was and taking on the persona, as I call myself, the Black Neo, freeing minds from the matrix through technology, is to bring this information to my people in a digital form where they can get it, take it, run with it, and we as a people can enjoy the benefits and start to rebuild our community. Now, we do have another caller on the line with the area code of 314. If you have something to say, you are live right now. Hello.
Yeah, it's Pianchi. How you doing?
Oh, hey, how's it going, Pianchi? Long time, bruh.
Yeah,
ain't heard from you in a while.
But I'm going to ask the question is, why come in black communities, this majority population, why come they don't control those public service jobs, i.e. police department, fire department, city hall, public works, and, of course, school districts? Do you realize how much money is being taken out of a community when you have, you know, the majority of the people that's in these jobs don't even live in the community? Not only are they taking wages, salary, benefits, but also pensions back to their community. As an example, in Ferguson, we know that out of the 53 police officers, only 3 was black.
Exactly.
And some of them, like Wilson, drove 40 miles, 40 miles a day to those jobs. And that's just one spot.
Exactly.
So if we ain't men enough to control the jobs that you are paying for, you live there. And when you go in these other communities, you don't see these people that work in these public service jobs in these majority black community. You don't see their children standing at the red light intersection with pots, pans, and helmets begging for money for uniforms and athletic fees and travel. Like you see young black kids doing.
Exactly. And that's interesting because that brings up what I was just discussing is not only with the job community, but we're taking the money out of our community. When you look at these other races, such as the Jews, their dollar turns at least 18 times before it goes out of the Jewish community. They spend money with their people, and therefore it stays in their community, and they're able to improve their own communities and improve their own situations. Whereas with us, we still following the myths that has been put out there about supporting black businesses, such as, oh, black businesses don't do business right, or black businesses charge too much, or whatever these cliches that people are coming up with about black businesses. But the bottom line is, if we don't spend our money with these black businesses, they can't become successful as these other communities have become, and so we suffer.
Well, you know, black business owners got to do it the right way. You can't go to an Asian wholesaler and buy wholesale thinking you're going to sell retail at a price that's going to be competitive to their cousins across the street and down the street. You know, look at Ferguson, for instance. The buildings and the businesses that were burnt out at Ferguson, those wasn't black businesses. Those were foreigners' businesses. And guess what they do with their profits? They send their profits back overseas. The building structures that was burnt down was belonging to the whites who used to live there, that's renting and leasing to these foreign immigrants that's running businesses, that's sending profits overseas. The rent is going out of that community. When you couple that with what we just got through talking a little bit earlier about the salaries and the public service jobs, I ask you, what's left? There's nothing.
Exactly. I believe.
And if a black man, if an African American in those communities have access to those jobs, then guess what? They would be able to put roofs on the houses that they live there. They would be able to paint, maintain the lawn and the landscaping. They would be able to pay the taxes. They would be able to support the athletic recreation organizations and be able to pay the fees and the dues for their children to participate.
I agree with that. But, you know, when you talk about black businesses doing it right, you know, first of all, we have to be educated in what we're doing. And I believe one of the main things we have to do as a people is we need to start loving each other. We need to start. We walk down the street. We see each other. We'd be lucky if we get a head nod instead of a hug and saying, I love you, brother. And we're so scared and fearful of each other. And because what the media has portrayed us as, I believe that's one of the hurdles that we need to go over. But what's also mentioned by President Jimmy Carter as well is the ratio on jobs like that, like the police force in Ferguson, the ratio of black police officers as opposed to white police officers is off balance. But I also propose the question of these black people that get in there, if they are indoctrinated into a system to hate their own people, then what do we accomplish? You know, there was just
what you accomplish is that they are gaining wages and salary from that. That's, I mean, we're talking about the economics. Everything else will take care of its place. If you put the proper structure in place, businesses, people, businesses. Businesses control the politics control the police. The media,
right.
The media wouldn't print nothing negative about you if you was commanding the advertising dollars. Business command advertising dollars. You follow me?
Right.
So you got to maintain and put that structure in place. Police are employees, hirees. The people are the boss. If the people wanted them to wear lime green pants and passion pink shirts, the people have a right to demand that. And if they don't want to do it, guess what? Leave.
Mm-hmm.
So put that structure in place. Another point. To support a black business is not just by going in and buying products off the shelf. No. To support a black business, you got to manufacture, produce, process, warehouse, transport, which they are selling. That's supporting the black business.
And which is called black distribution, which is what I mentioned with the Black Business Network as well. And the other thing is, for us to get this employment, it's definitely dependent on black businesses, because small business is what is doing most of the hiring, and we're talking small business. Any business 500 employees or less is basically considered small business, and these are the businesses that are hiring people. So even for the job situation, we need to have black businesses supported and come up, and black people start spending with black businesses to build that economic structure and have black distribution, as you mentioned, to support that.
And you got to have that. We need to have a mechanism to provide these courses in the high school, like emergency medical technician, first responder, paramedic. Those are prerequisites for becoming a fire department. You got to have a course that prerequisites our young people to becoming a police officer, so they go into the academy. You got to have a school that provides that type of training. Then you have to have a separate high-end agency, so that when the new hires for either of those departments are come up, they have to go to this hiring agency and seek out their applicants. They are not allowed to get on the phone and utilize the good old boy system like has been going on for age memorial, and coming up with the excuse, oh, we couldn't find no blacks. See, it's easy to solve these problems. We just got to be willing to put the time in, to put the structure in, and refocus on where it should be. Police officers, that should be a national registry. So when one of them aggrieve the rights of a individual, their name go in their registry, so that when they get ready to go someplace else, that next municipality know exactly who they're getting involved with. You don't want to get involved with somebody who just came from a municipality that had to dish out a lot of money in a settlement. Heck no. They need to be tagged just like young black males are with that felon. They need to be tagged too.
Exactly. Now, you bring up a good point also, because there are organizations that kind of, how can I say, erase a lot of this stuff. The Wilson guy in Ferguson, I don't know if you all know, but he has connection with the KKK. And when you have organizations like the KKK working behind the scenes to pull strings for you, then once again, we're at a disadvantage.
Well, see, now, that's easy to solve too. So when you check on a person's background, it has to be checked by at least three people. Not one, not two, but three. Three people have to sign off on that background check to make sure that this person is not on the registry and that they're suitable to be hired as far as that criteria is concerned.
Three separate companies, you're saying?
No, three separate individuals within the hiring agency in the city itself.
In other words, if it's three individuals that's in the same bed together, then we're looking at manipulation being possible. Whereas if you have an outside agency and an inside agency.
That's possible too. I agree with you. Let's go with that too. Even the cameras, the video that's recorded off the cameras that's on their person, the camera that's on the dash and deck, that video footage should be uploaded to an independent agency where the department itself can't edit it and change it.
Right. And they're supposedly supposed to be implementing something like that in the police force. I hope I live to see that, but that's where it's supposed to
be. I'll tell
you
another thing. Any training that the police undergo in your department, that training material, curriculum, DVDs, must be scrutinized by a committee which consists of some people in the community themselves.
All of
you can't let them be trained. You can't let them be trained with information that's going to create the us against them attitude, biases. You know, if you were to try to go into a public school and talk and teach in front of a group of students, your material is going to be scrutinized by the principal and probably the school board itself. So why do we let the police force be trained with material that we don't have the slightest idea what it's all about until you have an interaction with them and it's negative? Look in Florida where they had those targets. Those targets were black males.
Black faces on them. Exactly.
So if you had that committee, if you had that committee sitting there, they would have seen it and said, hell no, this ain't coming up in here.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe education in general, because a lot of times with our people, we're growing up to feel inferior and to believe that we're not even qualifiable for these positions because we're not being taught our true history. We're not being taught our true power that we have as a people. We're not being taught anything basically positive about us. We're taught that Columbus discovered America, which how do you discover a place where there's people already here? And if you research the true story, Columbus discovered he was lost. It was a black navigator that actually had to get him on the right track to even find America, which already had inhabitants. And I could go, the list goes on. Edison, mm-hmm. he did not discover electricity. He had one of the scientists on his crew took care of that for him. And because the way the times are, he got the credit for that. And so when you have a situation and a system and a society that is teaching you white superiority and black superiority, a lot of our teens and our youngsters are growing up to not even try. I'd rather just walk around with my pants falling off and smoke weed and do nothing in life and just be cool with it. And
well, no matter what the education.
I want to interject something right there. I want to interject something. You know, it's interesting that you talk about how what's being taught. Well, I just withdrew from an institution in North Carolina, Forsyth Tech University, specifically.
Right.
And I say it specifically because I'm not afraid. Because they put out their threats and said if I made mention. Well, what one of the teachers, instructors in their broadcasting production technology program has stated to a class of 95% black males ages from age 19 to 54 years old. She mm-hmm. told, this particular instructor told us, me included, that the law is subjective to us. Now, she tried to implement, that's why I withdrew from the program, because I challenged her and asked her, how is it that you can say the preamble in the student rights guidelines say that we have rights not to be graded based on your opinion, right, in the first sentence? And what I'm saying is this subjectivity is a practice that is common in the public school system, as I advocated for
right.
10 years in North Carolina as a public school advocate for youth, black males and children who could not read. And I can mm-hmm. tell you that subjectivity is thrown throughout, and see that breeds a whole dynamic. It makes them fearful. It causes them not to have a mindset of their own and to actually
right.
second guess their own rights. And that's the problem. So if we are addressing these issues at home, we're giving the facts to them at home, even to
right.
the adults. Creating groups, creating societies, public ones, letting them know that, look, this is what's being taught. You can't shut it down. It's harder now to shut it down. Using these social outlets is ways to communicate and
technology.
Make sure that we understand the balance comes from our objective. We have to be counted. That's a fact. And knowing that and teaching that, that's how you reproduce and recreate a generation that's going to be productive, that's going to understand what it takes to create an LLC, a C-Corp or S-Corp corporation
mm-hmm.
to develop
mm-hmm.
distribution, productivity, marketing, the whole nine. See, it goes
right.
back to the foundation, and it gave me great insight. Now, I'm bringing a lawsuit to the school. But I will tell you that, it's important that's the message. Utilizing Satan's weapons against him brings about the change.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the world found, not carnal, but mighty through pulling out strongholds. So that's even if that is just a guideline, a principle to use that will reverse the damage. This stuff is being put, this stuff is being, our families, our family alone, going back to 1824 on documents that I found, the mindset here is to drive home fear and oppression. And how do you do it? You do it by implementing a subjective mindset into the culture generation after generation after generation. That's the damage.
Right.
That's
just
the
like
damage.
The Willie Lynch letter.
Basically, you interject fear. If you're gonna tie a rope around a man's head, his arms and his legs, and rip his limbs apart in front of his family, of course.
Set him on
but
fire.
Now it's not. But now we are socially programmed to accept this Willie Lynch mindset. You know, I found this instructor. I challenged her program. I brought about 25 years of experience to understanding of engineering, audio engineering, as you know my background.
Uh-huh.
And what happens? She automatically gets frantic. She automatically began to ask questions, what is my experience? And see that says that her mindset they can't deal with us when we're on the same plateau, is what I'm trying to say. And that's what we have to do. And that didn't come, and now it hasn't come easy. It's about the agenda, and we are right by doing so. But the way you get to the answers, you got to go back to this. You don't have to go. You don't, because the foundation has been laid already. You just have to know what you're putting in the wall. And see, that's the problem. We talk a lot about how we're going to make a change. And we talk about the philosophies of business and how they interact. But it comes right down to taking the hand of that child or that wife and allowing them to understand beyond this level, this is what's going on, and bringing exposure to these microaggressions, to these subjective mindsets. You know, this same instructor told the class that there was no balance in the law. There is no balance of law. The laws are subjective based upon, she said this, I want to call her name, but I don't want to defame her, but she told a group of men and women that the law is subjective. And if the challenge is based upon your economic status. Now, they're bold enough now to talk about that in court. I mean, in classrooms, you got to think twice about how you're gonna approach this animal. Kill him with a net, or do you kill him with a spear? And the net is the social network that we have to continue to build. That's why it's so important that you're doing what you. That's right. It's right at hand. 5%. So Facebook is 5% of the marketing. 5% of the marketing network is online. But the internet, you're instantaneous around the world. We're not using.
Exactly.
We're not using it like we need to use it. It's not being implemented like we need to use it. And see that. And we have to reflect these microaggressions, these mindsets. That these people, these nationalists, these supremacists want to put forth, you know, and you know that's my insight. I'm from Durham, and I watched a community from a child turn from 85% black to less than 45% black, and they've basically taken over. They've changed the whole face of the city. They've erased a lot of the different communities and neighborhoods since the last 12 years, since you've been here. And see, it just continues to happen because we are not communal. We are struggling. We have that oppression in the blood. We have that oppressive mindset. And so those of us that have that dynamic outlook, that's what it's going to take. Creating the circles, creating that social atmosphere in motels, in synagogues, in lodges and things, and bringing it back to re-educating. But you can't do it. You have to give all of the information and find a way to get the information out there. And if
right.
that's continued, then you'll see some of this stuff change. You know,
right.
the importance, reminding the people the importance of voting, the importance, and having the outcry, you know, 3 years, 2 years before the next election so that we can make these changes. But not just that, get behind these Alabama, get behind North Carolina when there's time for election to give that support. That's, you know, that, and that's what, and they see, that's what it's going to take to get the people that we need in place to make these changes. Point blank.
Right. And we can use technology to do that, which is where I fit in, and that is to bring, and the purpose of this show and practically my whole life now has been dedicated to getting this information out there in a form that's easily assimilated and easily put out there, which is a digital form. A lot of the information I put on my other website, which is fishstickbudget.com, where I'm building a platform of education, of knowledge, of truth for our people to know that there is a truth that is not being told out there, and
that's right.
Revealing the lies your teacher may have told you and things of that nature. Brother Pianchi, any final words on that? I know we're getting down
like
to round up time.
Yeah, I would like to hear about my comments anyway.
Uh-huh. What was that?
I was asking the brother if he had any feedback to me about the statement.
Okay. Looks like we might have lost him, maybe lost reception with him, but that's all good. Very good, brother. I do appreciate him when he does come on the show.
Right.
As I mentioned, we haven't heard from him in a while, and that's what I find a beautiful thing, when black men can come together and speak on these subjects and speak on solutions for our people, solutions that are necessary for our people to be able to make that change. And a lot of the stuff that is out there has been catered to people that are the right complexion for the connection. And we need to be able to turn that around for our people. Once again, we are live at 347-996-5051. We got about 15 more minutes left in the show. And I do appreciate you brothers coming on. And as I mentioned, this show will continue, but it will continue on a whole new level, a whole new flavor, and more professional as well. And with the purpose of getting truth and freedom to our people in a way that is easily assimilated. They can always come back and listen to recordings of these broadcasts, as well as visit the sites I mentioned, Com being one, and the other one, fishstickbudget.com, and just start plugging in, educating yourself, learning about yourself. One thing I learned as in my time as a Mason was one of the key phrases in Masonry. In fact, they have this on the wall in the lodge itself, in the sacred area, so-called, of the lodge, and that is to know thyself, which actually is an African proverb, a very important African proverb that we can learn from, knowing thyself, knowing who you are as a black man, knowing who you really are as a black man and the original people of this earth and the greatest civilization that this world has ever known. See, a lot of black people don't know that we were the greatest civilization ever to walk this planet. You know, they've dug up the oldest woman in the world, which is Lucy. You can do your research on that. They called her Lucy, oldest woman in the world. I think she's something like 3 million years old or so. And, of course, her hair was nappy. So y'all already know what that means. we already, there's no question about her color. As a lot of people who agree that the ancient Egyptian civilization can possess sacred knowledge that they still have no idea. They don't even know how we got them pyramids and the Sphinx and all that up, and the accuracy that we built those things. So what they try to do is discredit us of being the actual people of that time. And if you ask any Egyptian that knows about that time, they will tell you the original Egyptians were from Nubia and they were black. And people always argue, well, you know, the people that's in Egypt now, they sure don't look black or African. Well, guess what? The original people of America don't look Indian, do they? Okay.
That's right.
These are the results of white dominance and white conquering and what they do when they come into a civilization and take over like that. And then they put out in the media every time you see like the Scorpion King and all that. Those were black people. But now the media, which is ran by mostly Jewish people, have changed the people and the characters to look like they're not African. And we've been indoctrinated into a system that hates the very look of an African. So many people are putting all kind of chemicals in their head to not look like a black person, to look like somebody else, and fixing their noses and changing all kind of stuff because for some reason they caught on to the idea that black was not beautiful. But I will quote my brother Martin Luther King when he put it right and he got the language correct when he said, "Black is beautiful, and I'm black, and I'm proud and beautiful." Black people, we need to start embracing that and embracing ourselves as a people, extension of the greatest civilization that this planet has known, the greatest people in the world. Why are we dominate? Everything a black hand touches, we dominate. We can tennis, golf, entertainment, sports. Hell, we got the White House now. There's nothing that we touch that we do not do better than any other race in the world. The only thing that we're lacking in is our love for each other, our knowledge of ourselves, and our coming together as a people and pooling our resources into a black economic system through black distribution and uplifting and elevating our people.
No doubt. No doubt.
Tonight, as we close, I actually will close with a song, a protest song. There's been a lot of going on because of all this killing of our sons and getting away with it, which that cannot continue. And thanks to the technology we've been mentioning, this stuff is finally getting out. You know, they can't beat us out there in the woods now and hang us and lynch us because we got a cell phone we can pull out right quick and get that information, get it right there on the spot. You know, they have always been known to hide their dirt. In fact, the Klan itself has never had the heart like a real man to even face a black man face on. So that's why they have those masks. They put them sheets over their heads because they're always hiding. Social media, they're always hiding. None of them will say these things to your face, but they get on Facebook and they say a few things. They get brave. You know, when they in their car on the street, they give you the finger or whatever, and they start honking all the time. Well, they are honkies, but
they get in the classroom and do their little paperwork and say that a man who has a disability is aggressive, and we can't have this aggressiveness from him, and we're gonna outlaw irritation, so we can eliminate him from the program. Microaggression at its best, and like I said, it's continuing day after day. Yeah, I want you to really take a look at that microaggression. And give that some insight, and it might be a good idea to talk about that on the show because that is the core, thing, the driving force right now. They throw a rock and they hide their hand, and they do little subtle things, and these microaggressions continue day after day. They do it right in our, they say it in the media, they do it in the music. That's how you can have an artist out talking about how to make cocaine, crack cocaine on the radio, and it becomes the number 30 song in the country overnight, telling our youth to be in love with cocaine, to be in love with crack, and then giving them the recipe to make it. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. A lot of our people don't see that. And they see these artists making all this money. And you must understand, the people behind them, if you go to the top of the food chain of the music industry, you will find the person is not black.
That's right. Micro.
Now, hip-hop, yeah, that started with black people. But you know what? We sold out. All these brothers who built these big hip-hop companies and everything, and then sell them to a white man who now manipulates the system. So,
that's right.
And they have the money and resources to do just that, to manipulate the system. So it's nothing for them to give $2 or $3 million to this artist to manipulate his people and his community to fall in love with things like crack, with things like disrespecting our women, with things like all these negative things that our youth are clinging on to. Please believe it is an agenda there that is promoting this thing to destroy our neighborhood, destroy our community, destroy us as a people. Crack alone was part of that plan because black folks didn't have no planes. So how did
it even
get in the neighborhood? They placed that there, broke and tore down our communities with crack, and got people to chasing that dollar, that quick money, which is nothing to them. And they get two birds with one stone. They get to kill our community. They got us killing each other, fighting over territories, smoking crack, killing our people, and the list goes on and it continues. And we need to wake up as a people and say it is enough. Hopefully the things that are taking place currently in our world, people are waking up and seeing that this is just not right. This has to stop. Enough is enough. Well, if enough is enough, we need to start looking deeper into this agenda and start waking up and realizing that there is a plan to get rid of you. There's already doctors that have came forward saying that they were told and they have planted AIDS in African children, African babies. They injected AIDS into African babies. Believe me, AIDS, Ebola, all of that is unnatural. It did not come from animals. It is a man-made disease. There's already people coming that have come forward and let folks know, but their voice is only so loud. And if you're not listening or looking or searching for this information, it will go right past you because the people who control the media will not allow this information to get out and expose them like they need to be exposed. So they shut that stuff down, which is why we go back to technology. With technology, we are able to get the real story. We are able to come on shows like this and put this information out to our people.
Doubt.
Our people are able to Google things and YouTube, whatever, and find the truth. And that's what we need to start doing, is finding the truth and knowing ourselves, our minds, and freeing our souls through truth.
No doubt. That's hitting the nail on the head. And I mean, need anything else be said? You know, it's self-explanatory. The facts are not subjective at all. The facts are the facts. These measures, all these things are there at hand. Now, the question is, what listener is going to hear that? That's the question. And then how do we work together as a community to make a difference?
In harmony.
In harmony. And
exactly.
You know, I mean, how do you, I mean, you can't, you is nothing more really that you can add to that. We can continue to build and add on, put the information out there in the hope that the next generation, the next person is going to grab hold and gravitate to truth.
Exactly. That being said, it's about wrap-up time for my show. As
no
promised,
doubt.
I do got a special track to play for y'all. And it's I call it my theme song to the protests that are going down currently in our current society, in our neighborhoods, in our community. So I hope y'all enjoy that. As mentioned, I believe we should have our new platform by next week. I don't know. Am I wishful thinking, bro?
Yeah, definitely. We were watching the Selma movie, which I think everyone should go out and take a look at.
Right.
It was two and a half hour movie, and in that conclusion, Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I watched that movie about three times.
Yeah, man, that is something that you really need. Every child coming up needs to understand and be explained to what that is, what that is about, and what that still means today, you know.
As well as the true story that a lot of it, the insides on Dr. King, they didn't expose a lot. But if you do your research, like I said, you can go to fishstickbudget.com and see a lot of that inside information that I've accumulated and curated on actual stories. But there is a deeper story behind that black man, that great black man. But that being said, so we should have our new platform up and running by next week's show.
No doubt.
Which will be the same black time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. on the East Coast. That's it. I'm going to leave you with this track. And stay black, y'all.
All right. God bless.
All we hear is them, us, them, us, them, all you. Why? All we hear is them, us, them, us, them, us, them, all you. They say poor might be the new black, but it's the old one. Race is just a new class. I was told once how the Irish became white. Kenyans, Jamaicans, Cubans, Nigerians, Brazilians, Haitians, and more became black. The Moors were erased fast. That's tragic as Othello. Puritans used to view blackness as of the devil. Nation of Islam said whiteness was of the devil. But through it all, the same dynasties kept going. And in my heart of hearts, I feel for those who fought as hard as they could against oligarchs. And it's time to be out as far as watching things fall apart. But once a CW becomes a T-1000, what can we do about it?
All we hear is them, us, them, us, them, us, them. All we hear is
rising beyond the horizon. hear it. I inspected my hoodie to see if it was Trayvon. After a middle-aged, wealthy white man with a gun told me what he was afraid of, me. His response to the images he'd seen on television screens was to take up arms to protect his family from lawless mobs of black kids. Take up arms like that FBI informant Richard Aoki told Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, founders of the Black Panther Party. Take up arms before you take this iconic photo. But see, from that point on, 1 point out of their 10-point program would forevermore define them. Not freedom, not education, not employment, not housing, not free breakfast for kids, not even reparations, but arms. And now we see them taking up arms in Ferguson. Heads held higher than heads for Mike Brown, who right now looks like every black or brown kid. He certainly looks like me. And I've debated whether or not to blame my doppelgangers for every time I was stopped by a cop who thought I was a robber or a gangbanger. Apparently, I fit a description given by a witness who would prefer to remain nameless as I heard the same statement.
We've had a disturbance in the neighborhood.
I was a disturbance to the neighborhood. There's some hood at the neighbors. I think he's from some neighboring hood or block. Wonder why I cringe at the word neighborhood watch when a flip of a switch is all it takes for good cops to become killer cops. A good protester to start screaming, kill the cops! Will it stop? I say yes when I'm feeling optimistic. Cause opposition of opposition is not a given. For some reason, all we hear is them, us, them, us, them, us, them. All we hear is
them.
All we hear is them, us, them, us, them, us, them. All we hear is